If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. There is a Jesus that the world wants you to know. Right? Jesus asked the disciple, who does man say that I am? And man said, oh, you're Elijah, you're the prophet, you're Moses, you're this and you're that. Everything who he was not. There is a Jesus that the world wants you to know. He's certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. There is a Jesus that religion wants you to know. A Jesus that gets sacrificed every Sunday morning at a Mass. Comes down and at the Mass he's sacrificed every Sunday morning. That's a Jesus religion wants you to know. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible died once and for all and now is seated at the right hand of God. He's not sacrificed anew, afresh, every Mass. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. There is a Jesus that Satan wants you to know. He certainly is not the Jesus of the Bible. And it's important as Christians, as Bible-believing, following, living Christians, born again by the Spirit of God, that we know the Jesus of the Bible. And listen, the more we know him, the more we want to know him. And I can't ever forget after I got saved, just I was on fire for the Lord. Oh, what else don't I know? And I felt ripped off all my childhood life, going to a parochial school, going to the Catholic Church. When I began to study and hear the Bible taught, oh, wow, what else don't I know? You ever feel that way? I hope you feel that way today. Because as we enter into the book of Revelation, he shows us who he is. He tells us. It's a revelation of him and what will happen at the end of the earth. Now, if a pastor came up here and said, next Saturday, the world is going to end, is it possible? Answer that. Yeah. No, it's not possible. Is it possible the world could end next Saturday? Of course not. Why? Because Scripture tells us what's going to happen, right? The church has to be raptured. If you're sitting in the pew right now, we're in trouble if the rapture already happened, right? There is a timeline and events that are going to happen, so nobody can come and say, oh, God has already come, the church is raptured, this is it, right? Jesus even tells them, the apostles tell them, us in Scripture, beware. Don't let anybody come and deceive you. Can Jerusalem be overtaken and destroyed? No. Why? Scripture tells us God's going to protect them and guide and direct them. We had all these nations come up against this little group of people and God protected them. All through Scripture. God tells us these are his people. So if a prophet comes and says the world is, there's a meteor going to come and destroy earth and everybody's going to die, the answer is no. You're educated in the word. You know that that's not true. Now, there are all kinds of prophets out there. In the 1980s, there was a news article that said the National Enquirer is the nation's most read newspaper. And it's true. Each year, it publishes the nation's leading prophets predictions for the coming year. So far, they have predicted that inflation would stop dead in its tracks, that the discoveries of the cure of cancer, tooth decay, heart disease, diabetes, kidney disease, arthritis, the common cold, even aging process itself would be ours by now. Were they right? I don't think so. They predicted the food prices would be drastically reduced, that at the time Ronald Reagan would leave his wife and that Muhammad Ali would win the seat in Congress, and that the first human red-haired boy would be cloned in Kentucky. These were the things that were said in the National Enquirer. How many of you had read that? Good. Because I didn't read it either. Yet, listen, millions of people still read and believe in their credibility. They're wrong. They're liars. They put on these headlines to draw us. Oh, what is this? Is it possible? The world's coming to an end next week. Everybody's going to buy that paper to read it. But we know the truth. even if an angel appears with another gospel or another message or another Jesus, let it be accursed. This is what the Bible tells us. And so we have the understanding, the knowledge, and the wisdom of Scripture. Nobody can fool us. Why? We have the truth. You have the truth. The Holy Spirit that dwells within every believer gives us understanding of the truth. Even deeper understanding than perhaps other Christians, because they're not mature yet. We begin as a baby, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then we get into the part where, hey, there's suffering in our Christian walk, right? People don't like us, and we grow in that, right? And then we begin to, we go from the milk to the meat. The Word of God is food, it is drink, and we can't survive without either of them. The living water, right? It's water, it's nourishment. And so, there is a Jesus. There's many Jesuses out there. You have to capture this thought. Just because someone says, I believe in Jesus, certainly we want to think the best of everyone, right? Like that's the Jesus we believe in. But as you dig deeper, maybe it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Maybe it's not the Jesus who died for our sins, who rose on the third day, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. That might not be the Jesus. They may believe in a Jesus that comes and gets sacrificed every week, and that we have to go through a priestly system for forgiveness of sins, because that's what the Catholic faith teaches. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. It's not. And so God wants to reveal himself to all of us. We can know the future only to the extent that he allows us, and he's presented it to us in his word. All other attempts are just attempts. We do, however, have in front of us this morning the greatest book of predictions ever assembled. Whatever the Lord wants us to know about the future is contained in this book. The one great advantage we have is that all of these prophecies have come true and will come true, past, present, and future. Why would we doubt, right? And I hope you're excited today that we've answered some questions. Can the world end tomorrow? Oh, some thought it could. But we know it can't. Why? Because things have to happen. We don't know the hour or the day or the time or the date. Because if somebody adds a date, hey, it's going to happen now. Are they false prophets? No, but they may be misled, right? Because we don't know the time or the hour. The rapture can happen, boom. Hope it happens after our potluck. We'll be full. We won't have to pay the mortgage next week, right? Right? We won't have to pay that car payment or go to work. But we don't know the time or the hour. And when the rapture happens, things will happen on the earth that are very bad. And it is the judgment that will fall upon man who did not believe. So I want you to understand that before we get into it. I'm going to give you some outlines as well. It's the judgment of God that will fall upon the earth and man because they did not believe. They rejected the Savior. Now, after the rapture of the church, everything turns to the Jew, to the nation of Israel. So we do not teach replacement theology. How many know what that is? Replacement theology has been taught in some churches, particularly the Catholic Church, that believe that the Christians, the Gentile church, has now taken the place of Israel in God's eyes, that we are now God's children and chosen people. Now, we are God's children and chosen people, but we haven't replaced Israel. We have what? We've been grafted in, right? We have been adopted. We haven't replaced them. So what's happening right now? Well, when the nation of Israel had rejected Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And now, today, the church age is a time of grace where God is not counting our sins against us here and now. In the Old Testament, if man disobeyed God, they were judged right then. Boop. Things were bad. If they obeyed God, they were blessed. That was the covenant. But now we have a new covenant, and it's a covenant of grace. So that he died in our place, and now he's calling, listen, all men unto himself. That's why the last commandment to disciples was, go make disciples followers of me. God is now calling all man to himself. And it's a time of grace. Listen, When the church is raptured, taken up, everything then turns back to the nation of Israel, not the Gentiles. So we have some background and some educational things that God wants us to know. Dr. Charles Ryrie said, he pointed out that by the law of chance, it would require 200 billion Earths populated with 4 billion people each to come up with one person who could achieve 100 accurate prophecies without any error in sequence. But the Bible records not 100, but over 300 prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ's first coming alone. A prophet was based upon whether he was true. Today, we'll believe anybody, whatever they say. Oh, Jesus is coming in 2010. Oh, I made a mistake. He's coming in 2015, right? Oh, okay, we'll still follow you. No. You were wrong. So in those days, in the Old Testament, if a prophet was wrong, he was killed. He was put to death because he was a false prophet. Scripture, listen, stands on its own. I don't have to prove to you that Scripture's true. I'm proclaiming Scripture as true because it is. And the Holy Spirit now will give you understanding in scriptural truths. So the sequence of events, the book starts at the time of the writing, which is approximately 100 AD and extends onto eternity. There is no end in the book of Revelation. Well, there is at the story of Revelation, but it ends up in eternity with God. Just before the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth, which really is beginning of eternity, there is a final 1,000-year period of the existing earth known as the millennial period. And if you never heard of this before, in time, because there's a lot of text to go through. And so be patient. I would recommend you take notes and reflect on the things that we're going over. Read the scriptures, not only after service, but during the week, so you have an understanding of where we're going. A time which Jesus, along with the Christians, not denominational churches, will rule the earth. So there'll be a new heaven, a new earth that'll be created. There'll be a millennial period for 1,000 years that we will live on earth. And it's really weird. I don't understand it, but this is what he tells us. And listen, it's okay that we don't understand everything that we get into this book. It's all right. We know the basics, right? That we won't be here during all these judgment times that happen in Scripture. We'll be with the Lord rejoicing. And when he comes back, we will be with him forever, right? So those are some basic things. Prior to this 1,000-year reign, the earth is under the rule of a satanically controlled man for 42 months. So listen, after the Antichrist is revealed, when does that happen? It happens sometime after the rapture of the church. It doesn't give us a timeline, and we'll talk about why and the seven trumpets and such like that that happen, seven seals. These are pre-tribulation time. Once he is revealed and makes a covenant with the nation of Israel for peace, there's a 7-year period until it's all over, till the curtain totally closes and we're with the Lord for a 1,000-year period. We're with him forever, but there's a millennial period that happens. So there's a timeline, but we don't know when it starts and when the church is raptured. So understand that point. The Bible refers to this man as the beast. He's worldwide. His demonic government will be defeated. Know this, he will be defeated during this timeline. Once again, we won't be here. We'll be with the Lord in heaven. Before he's defeated, there will be a period of 1,260 days in which there will be a tremendous prophecies and works and miracles performed by what the Bible calls these two witnesses. There'll be two witnesses that'll be here witnessing up on behalf of Christ. Revelation 11. Now again, this is the introduction. Revelation 11, verses 3 through 6. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it if you're taking notes. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are two olive trees and two lampstands standing before God on the earth. So they're witnesses. Lampstands, they're Jewish. And if anyone wants to harm them, they have fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. And they have power to shut heaven so that no rain will fall on the days of the on their prophecies. And they have power to power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all kinds of plagues as often as they desire. So it's only when the beast is allowed to conquer them that he is able to set upon his power here. Revelation 11:7, when they finish their testimony, when their job is over, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So these two periods of time, the 1260 days and 42 months, are consecutive, and each consists of a period of 3.5 years for a total of 7-year period. In the book of Daniel, it speaks of a 7-year period. He speaks of 69 sevens. Well, that last 7-year period has not happened yet. Now, this is deep, and it takes some consideration. The clock has stopped. What stopped the clock? The cross. When Jesus died on the cross, this prophetic clock that Daniel speaks about, which we'll get into as we go, has stopped. Why? Because God is calling all men unto himself. It is a time of grace that men shall be saved. Now, here, today, every day that we have breath, we should be drawing people to the Lord. Why? Because when the church is raptured and the Antichrist is revealed, he makes that 7-year treaty, the clock starts again. Daniel speaks of the end times and a period of time. So it's in coalition with Revelation as well. So the church is raptured. We're out of here. We're with the Lord. The Antichrist is revealed. We don't know how long a period is from the time of the rapture of the church till the time he is revealed. It could be a significant time. It could be a short time. But we know this is going to be an awful place to be in. Because right now, what restrains evil in the world, what is it? The Spirit of God, the believers, right? That's why he says you're salt. Salt preserves meat, right? Salt defends against decay. So when you take that away, when you take the Spirit of God away from the earth, this is going to be a bad place. There's nothing going to be restraining evil. And so it speaks of wars and rumors of wars and all these things happening. And the Antichrist, in a political position, steps up and makes peace with the nation of Israel. Got that? That's when the prophetic clock starts again. 7 years. We know the timeline. 7 years. Boom. At the end of that 7-year period, we come back with Christ. New heaven, new earth. We'll get into that in Revelation 22. So for you note takers, the first 3.5 years is dealt in chapters 4 through 11. I think we have an outline of the book that you can jot down. And the last 3.5 years corresponds with chapters 12 through 19. Chapters 4 and 5 contain a tremendous scene that just precedes the tribulation period. So there's a lot of scenes. It's interesting. He's taken away in the spirit. He sees these things, and it's interesting. It's like him looking in the sky at a big drive-in movie theater, and he sees this. Oh, and I saw this, and I looked here, and I saw this. Some of them are visions of the same thing, and we'll go through them. Once again, where are we? We're in heaven. When all these things are happening, this is why he's saying, go and make disciples. Tell people about my love. Because tremendous things will be happening on the earth. Well, Pastor, this is crazy. Why would we believe that? Why wouldn't we believe that? Everything else that is written in Scripture that we believe and know to be true, the fact that the Holy Spirit has now indwelled us and changing us, oh, we're not perfect, but changing us, breaking chains, setting us free on a path of righteousness, following Jesus. Listen, this would be the last place I ever thought I would be. Matter of fact, My parents said that I was the last of their five kids that they ever thought would get saved. I don't want to get in great detail, but think about that, right? What happened? Who did it? God did it. The Holy Spirit did it. Jesus died on the cross so that all men will come to Him and be saved. And He knocks on our heart, and we have a choice to believe or not to believe. And He wants us to know Him. He not only wants us to know Him, but He wants us to know what's going to happen. We have the scene. We have the script. We know exactly what's going to happen. And so we can educate ourselves by the power of the Spirit and others as well, right? In John 14, this is John who wrote Revelation. In the book of John 14, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also." 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all not sleep," speaking of death, "but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." That's the rapture. Twinkling of an eye. Just blink, boom, we're out. Boom, gone. Where'd they go? I don't know. We know, right? We're there. So this is what he's speaking of, the rapture of the church. In the Greek, it's called harpazo. It's a snatching of away, twinkling of an eye. The believers are gone. The dead in Christ, the bodies of the dead in Christ. Now, I don't understand this fully. We'll raise up and meet the spirits because the spirits are with the Lord and the bodies will be changed. Well, Pastor, how does that happen? What if somebody was eaten by a shark 100 years ago? Where's their body? I don't know, but He does, right? He can make nothing, something out of nothing, right? He can speak life into nothing. So He can do all things. Why would we think that's such a miracle, right? He created us. And so Matthew 24, "But of the day and hour no one knows." Remember I said no one knows. So beware of those who are putting dates and times, because we don't have the capacity to know the dates and times. "Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah," listen to this. If you're taking notes, Matthew 24, 37. "But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into that ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." When He comes back with us, they're going to be saying, "Oh, we don't need God. Everything's going to be happy." He's speaking of coming suddenly without expectation. They're not looking for Him. Me as a believer, I'm looking. "Lord, come, Jesus, come. Rapture us, take us home. We're ready to go. But while we're here, we have a ministry. We have loved ones in our families that are not saved. Am I the only one? Of course not. We have friends that are not saved. Neighbors that have never heard the name of Jesus, believe it or not. Or in the Jesus of the Bible, at least. So we have responsibility. We have a life that needs to be totally surrendered to God so that He could use us even more than He did yesterday. Right? I want to be more surrendered today than it was yesterday so that God can continue to use me. Give Him everything we have. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of who? Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. The ancient Greek word translated revelation is apokalypsis, meaning apocalypse, being revealed or revealing. What does the book of Revelation reveal? It is the revelation of who we just read it, Jesus Christ. It's not the book of Revelations. It's a singular person. Jesus Christ reveals himself and the plans of God to us. This is what he says. Gusick says that from the outset, we are given the most important truth about the book of Revelation. This book shows us the Antichrist. It does show us God's judgment. It does show us calamity on the earth. It does show us the mystery of Babylon in vivid detail. But most of all, it is a revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ to us. If we catch everything else but miss Jesus in the book, we've missed the book of Revelation. Jesus revealing himself to us. Do we have the outline of the book up? Leave it up, please. Spurgeon says how we need a revelation of Jesus. The great fault of many professors is that Christ is to them a character upon a paper. Certainly more than a myth, but yet a person of a dim past and a historical personage who lived many years ago and did most admirable deeds by which we are saved, but who is far from being a living, present, bright reality. Some people think about that. That's the Jesus they believe in. Jesus in the manger. The baby Jesus that they celebrate each Christmas time. But he's not a babe in a manger. He's a king on the throne. And his spirit dwells in all who believe in him. And he's coming to take us home to be with him forever. Those who reject judgment will fall upon them. Listen, he's telling us this. So that we can tell others. Don't keep it yourself. Many times after service, you'll hear me say, act. Apply what we just read. Change anything in your life that hinders this. And teach others. A-C-T, act. Teach others the truth. So that they're not deceived. He's not the Jesus, little baby Jesus anymore. He's a king. He came the first time to die for our sins. He comes a second time as a judge to those who rebelled against him. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought you said he's coming to take us up at the second time. That's not the second time he comes. Did you know that? The first time he came, died on the cross. The second time he comes, he's going to meet us in the clouds. He's not coming to earth yet. He hasn't come to earth. He's going to call us to meet him in the clouds, that we would be with him in the heavenly places. And the second time he comes to earth, he's going to put his feet on the ground, the Mount of Olives, which is going to split. We're going to be with him. That's his second coming, not the rapture. Did you know that? You do now. We're learning more stuff. The rapture, he calls us home. He hasn't come to earth. He's meeting us in the heavenly places. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. To show who?
Servants.
His servants. His servants. That's you. And that's me. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us are serving in more than others. Some of us may do, you know, a little bit, and others more. But we're servants of Christ. His revelation is to his people. So why? So that we would know. And that we would understand. And that we would bring truth to those who are lost. Go and make followers of me. Tell them everything I've taught you. And I'll be with you to the end. What a proclamation to follow, right? It's revealed to us. This is an apocalypse, a revelation, not an apocrypha, which is a something that's hidden, but he's now revealed the mysteries. Listen, Daniel's told to write these things down, and they didn't know what they were writing. They had no idea. When you think about the Old Testament prophets and all the things that they wrote, when they spoke about him dying on a cross, they had no idea what was going to happen. The crucifixion wasn't even invented. And he says, write these things down, and in the last days, knowledge will increase. The truth will be revealed to us in the last days. Why? So that we can draw others to the Lord. We have a responsibility. you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are his servant, and God gave this to Jesus to show you his servants. If God gave the revelation to show you, then you will have the ability to understand. God wants us to know. Why would he tell us something that we don't understand? He gives us understanding and wisdom as we go through this together, slowly, collectively. I want you all to be students. Take some notes so that you remember. Some of this stuff is really deep. It captures our attention. Wow, that's great. And we forget about it. Write it down. Pastor Ron has provided a paper for notes that you can take right in the foyer. On the back of your flyer, there's a place for you to write down. Be a student of the Word, not only for yourself, but for someone else. Hey, what happens at the end of the world? Oh, we're going to be with Jesus. Well, how do you know? Well, the pastor said so. Well, what did he say? Oh, I don't remember. We're laughing, but that is so true. And listen, if you're not a note taker, and I'm looking at a couple non-note takers in the room, listen, you may say, well, I'm not a note taker. Listen, God didn't make you not a note taker. Well, that's just the way I am. No, that's a behavioral thing. Take notes so that you can be a student, so that you can reflect, so that you can add. So we have a whole paper. You can grab it next week if you didn't grab it this week, and you can start taking notes. And you can put it in a folder just like this. You have the whole teaching of Revelation that you took notes on so that when somebody says something, oh, I heard the nation of Israel is no longer there. They took it over. It's not true. We know this. Oh, we heard Jesus already came and we're living in the millennial period. How many of you heard that? Oh, there's people teaching that today. We're living in the millennial period. Well, where's Jesus? Physically, he's not here. The millennial period, physically, we will be with him here on earth. Okay? So we know when someone says that, that's a false doctrine. That's not true. If you don't understand that, does that mean you're going to hell? No, of course not. How do you get to heaven in the first place? Believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are saved. Now we begin to grow together in our faith. As we study Scripture, the church's purpose, the reason why I'm up here, because you can read it yourself, is to equip the saints for works of service so that you have more understanding. First of all, we come in the presence of the Lord and give him praise and worship. You're not doing that in your workplace, are you? Unless you work in a church, you're probably not doing that, right? So we're worshiping the Lord collectively as believers. We're coming together to study the Word. And it's a feast that God's giving us spiritually. We nurture on these things. We start with our salads, then our soups, and then the main dish, and then dessert. Well, this is what he's given us. If you miss, you may have missed part of the meal that God has for you. Just saying. But to listen, he has revealed it to us, his servants, but to those who are perishing, the cross is foolishness. This revelation is foolishness. To those who are perishing, they won't, listen, have the ability, capacity, or desire to know the things of Scripture. Now, you may be engaged with some people in your life that, good, bad, or indifferent. Here's a spiritual law. Bad character corrupts good morals, period. Well, I'm trying to get them saved. No, the spiritual law is that their character will corrupt your morals. Hang out with some people who are cursing all the time. Just hang out with them. I bet something's going to slip in your mouth one day. Absolutely. Why? Because they're influencing you. They're corrupting your good morals. Unevenly yoked. And here's what happens. There was a pastor who had a ministry, a basketball ministry, not too far from here. And every Tuesday night, they had a bunch of people come and play basketball. Some were believers, some were not believers. So I said, are you doing a devotional or anything before, you do your basketball ministry? No, it's just a basketball ministry. I said, is everybody saved there? Oh, I don't think so. Then what's the point? There's going to be good basketball players going to hell. That's not our responsibility to play basketball. It is to make disciples. Now, speaking from the church aspect, if you're on a basketball team, have at it. But if it's church, I'm more concerned about your soul than your basketball abilities. So I told the youth pastor, hey, why don't you just have a devotional before you engage in your ministry activity? And you'll see those who are not there for the right reason. Because remember, Jesus warned us, we spoke about this last week in Luke 12. Beware of the leaven. Leaven was a picture of sin that would spread and disease. He's speaking in the spiritual realm here, right? Beware of that leaven. That leaven's the whole loaf. And so what happened, the pastor started having a Bible study before they had their basketball game and a devotion, just a couple minutes. And all of a sudden, bip, I don't want to be a part of that. I want nothing to do with Jesus. I'm just here for basketball. And here's what happened. It left him with a core group of people that wanted to learn and grow. Now, they were no longer influenced by the other people that were around them. So God wants us to grow in our understanding of him and our knowledge of him. So we're desiring to know the word, but it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Listen, there are people who come to church because it's a safe place to hang out. Nice people that they can ask for donations for money for them. I've seen them come and go. They get free coffee. How many know churches that give free coffee? You can't get anything free at church, other churches. We're giving you free coffee. Just saying. There are people who are coming for the wrong reasons. We're coming to worship God. And I'm not saying that I'm any better than anyone else. At the cross, we are all equal. But our desire is to grow and learn more about God so that we can teach other people as well. So it's revealed to us what? What is revealed to us? So he reveals it to his servants, the things which must shortly take place. Period this morning. Because I'm not going to go any farther. And God willing, next week we'll pick up there. Things are going to shortly take place. Well, Pastor, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. That's not real quick and shortly, is it? But as to God, he doesn't live in a time continuum, time and space continuum. To him, that's like one day. These things are happening fast, will happen fast. He's telling us to beware. And so we're going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross with communion this morning. But it's so important that, listen, that we're saved. Because we don't have the capacity to understand Scripture apart from the Spirit of God. Period. And so if you don't know you have eternal life, the Scripture says that these things that are written so that you may know you have eternal life. How do I know? They that believe in me, these have the rights to be called the sons of God. So night before Jesus was to be betrayed, he was with the disciples in the upper room celebrating the Passover feast. The Passover was where the lamb's blood was over the doorposts of the house that the spirit of death would pass by. And Jesus is saying, I am the fulfillment of that Passover feast. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body which was given for you. May the body of Christ bring us to everlasting life. In the same way he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new and everlasting covenant that was shed for you and for all men. May the blood of Christ bring us to everlasting life. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross, and now we have eternal life with you. Give us that spark and fire in our heart to not only know you more, but to proclaim you more from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, before we close, we're not going to do another song, guys, because I messed up. I was supposed to call someone up to speak to us. Johnny and Gisela, Joe, come on up. They are from Sweden. We sent them out to start the Rock Calvary Church, and we've prayed for them. Remember the faces? And I was going to call him up before we started the service to tell you what's happening there in the church. So he's going to spend a couple minutes to brief us on what's happening in the Rock Church, Calvary, in whatever that word is. What is it? What? This one, the L.
Jumbi.
Yeah, whatever he said. So, and then as soon as you're done, you can pray for us and we'll go eat.
Okay. Morning, church. We're really happy to be back again. It was a year ago that we stumbled in through the doors here, and a lot of things has happened since then. And We had a first meeting with Pastor Ken and Pastor Ron about the Rock Church in Sweden, that is a Calvary Chapel. So the church that we have started is a satellite church from your church. And we just want to thank you so much, because we know that all of you have been praying for us. I've seen the emails that the Pastor Ron has sent out, and we're just so thankful for all your prayers. So we just upstarted for 2 months ago. First was in February. We had our first meeting, and we just rent restaurants around the town that where we live in Sweden.
It's awesome.
So we want to have an environment for people that not used to go to churches. So they come to the restaurant, and we have music, and we read the word, and we try to teach as the best we can about Jesus. So thank you so much, and
Amen.
God bless you, and I will pray for you.